Praise God. All right. Thank you, Kimberly. God bless you. For such a time as this, last Sunday we began introducing to you all some of the people God is positioning as elders and teachers and deacons in this church. And some might say, well, wow, this is long overdue. I thought Brooke was already a pastor. I thought Stacy was already a pastor. Yes, the beautiful thing about it is that man doesn't have to call you anything. Man just recognizes what God has already done. So I can't lay my hands on someone and make them a pastor or make them a teacher. What we can do is say, oh, wow, God has truly graced you with that gift, and we recognize that. So last Sunday, you began to meet some of them. This Sunday, you'll hear from a few more. But first, let's explain why. In Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 26, it says this. Well, let me start with this. About 8 years ago, my father passed the church on to me because God told him it was time. And for 8 years, I've done my best. And 2 years ago, God says it's time for the maintenance period to end. So I can't just maintain what Dad gave me. I have a cause that it might grow. Because when God's involved in something, it grows, church. It grows. It gets bigger and stronger. Bigger doesn't always mean more people. So the size of a church doesn't matter. What matters most is the health of a church, that you are growing and you are being strong. And I need help to do that. Pastor Jim and the other elders need help to do that. And so let me just quickly explain and show you in the Bible where that has happened before. We're in Exodus chapter 13, verses 13 through 26. And it says this: the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good." Church, can you say, it's not good? Moses was doing it all by himself. And his father-in-law said, this is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen to me. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from among the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them. Church, can you say appoint them? And appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. So as we leave maintenance mode, we are beginning to appoint some around us, and we're not done. So just because you're not in this round doesn't mean that your round isn't coming. We're not done. God's not done. Everybody has a purpose for being in this church, right? So as we continue to go along, God will highlight more people and say, appoint them for this. They have this gift, and that's how this church will grow. And we see that happen in the New Testament in Ephesians. And 4, verse 11, where it says this: now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So in order for this to work, it can't just be me. It can't just be Jim. This is not a one-man show. If this was a one-man show, when I die, it's over. Do you understand that? So the work has to be distributed between all of the body of Christ. And that's what's happening now. So I'm going to introduce you to someone that you should be praying for a lot, right? This is my wife. Shouldn't be laughing that hard. My wife, Brooke Tibbs, let's give her a hand as she tells you a little bit about herself and the ministry that God has given her for you.
All right. Well, good morning again. I won't be before you too long because we have a packed house up there with the teens, and that is very exciting. But as my husband just said, my name is Brooke Tibbs. If you didn't know, I know we have a lot of new faces around here, and that's a good thing. But we've been married for 20 years, and it'll be 21 in November. Yeah. Glory be to God, right? He keeps it together. And then we have three children together, Amaya, who's 16, Drayden, who's 12, and Dominic, who's 7, and they all sit back there. And I know I was asked about grandchildren. I did not have grandchildren, and I hope I don't for a while. I'm just going to kind of go through the questions. It said, how did you come to know the Lord? Well, this may sound strange for some, but I feel like I've always known the Lord. Like, there's always just been this knowing. But I was officially born again at 3 years old. But I can remember those very young days of just kneeling beside my parents' bed, and I was literally interceding, like the Holy Spirit was interceding for each family member through me. I can remember praying for the sick, you know, like I always say, there's no junior Holy Spirit, and I would see them be healed. I would share with strangers about Jesus. You know, I just had that kind of boldness at the time. So I've always felt this call in my life, and I've always had like this constant sense of his presence, even if I wasn't doing the right thing. Like, I just always knew God was there. Like, I always have had this awareness. So he's always been a part of me, if that makes sense. The next question was, how have you served in ministry in the past? Possibly other churches and organizations. Well, I've served most of my life. When I was young, I always helped with vacation Bible schools, Sunday schools for children. When I became a teen, I was at Lima Community Church of the Nazarene, and I was on the intercessor team. And I also had a mentor named Carol Botkin, and we were in the healing and deliverance room together. We were over that, and we saw many people delivered and healed. They even sent us to conferences with people like Derek Prince. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Chuck Pierce, John Eckhart, and so many more. I've been here, believe it or not, we used to have a choir, a very large choir. I was on a choir here, the worship team. I also have a dance ministry, and I've done that here, and I've also gone to conferences and used the Lord's used me in dance at the conferences. Currently here, I'm over children and teen ministry, although I do shift around to many things, okay? So whatever my hands find to do, I do it. So if that's preaching up here, or if it's emptying the diaper pail, that's what I do. The next question was, how did God lead you to New Life? And what was it that helped you know this would be your home church family? Well, unfortunately, our past church wouldn't really let the Spirit flow. Now, I want to honor them, okay? I loved the Church of the Nazarene, and at that time, it was David Sharp's. And I'm telling you, he had a love for God and people like I've barely ever seen. I mean, I loved that pastor, but, you know, the Spirit was moving through us, and it was kind of being stifled. And so we began to look for other churches, and my mentor found New Life. And, of course, Damien's dad was pastor at the time. And we just loved it, and we kept staying and staying. Then I met Damien, and the rest is history. The next question was, how have you or are you currently serving at New Life now or in the past? Well, I answered most of that, but again, I'm over children and teen ministry right now. I also counsel sometimes and anywhere I'm needed, okay? It keeps things interesting. The next question is, has God given you a heart for a specific group of people? Well, to tell you the truth, my heart's for all nations, all people, all ages. If it wasn't for the boomer generation, like my mother, me as a millennial, I wouldn't be here. And so, like, I really desire to see all generations linked in arms, hand in hand. You know what I'm saying? Because we're all important. From babies to 90 years old, like, we're all the bride. And so I really have a heart for all people. I especially right now feel pulled towards the youth, towards the children. I also feel pulled towards those who are hurting and broken. because I've had a lot of hurt and brokenness in my life. You just never know what somebody's really been through, and most really don't know what I've been through. And so I really have a heart for the hurting and broken, and also the lost. That really burns in my heart because there's people out there that don't know Jesus like we do. And so my heart burns for the lost. And the next question was, what do I desire to see for this church? Well, first of all, I feel like my mission and our mission has to align with the Great Commission, because this isn't just about New Life. It's about the worldwide bride of Christ. And so Matthew 28:16 says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So this verse says all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. Okay. And he made a show of all the principalities openly. So I feel like we're ambassadors of him. We're sent ones, and we can use his name. And this verse also says that we're to make disciples, not just churchgoers, guys. And I looked up, what does disciple mean? It means a follower, a student of a teacher, a leader, or a philosopher. So I desire that all of us in here be students taught of him, okay? And he's placed the fivefold. He's placed pastors in here. He's placed teachers. He's placed prophets, evangelists, and apostles. They all have a distinct purpose. Yet they're supposed to flow and work together to build up Christ's body here in this city, okay? And like I said before, we're part of a greater worldwide body, okay? I want you to like see that and envision that as well. We're to baptize and win the lost. So like, that's why I feel like compel is so important. And I love it so much. I love going out into the neighborhood because it's not just about these four walls, but it's about going out, you know, and being Jesus to the people. He's by the right hand of the Father. Okay. We're his hands and feet now through the Holy Spirit. I also just want to say that I feel like it has to happen not just here, but again, our intimacy with the Lord has to be daily and in the study of his word at home. Because consistency is what's honored. And then when we're healed and we're equipped, we're ready to go out, because the blind can't lead the blind. But when we're healed, we are ready to go out, okay? If you know me, I have a heart for revival. And revival means an act or instance of reviving, the state of being revived, such as a renewed attention to or interest in something. So I'm going to read this word from Nate Johnson, because I feel, and I continue to feel like revival has to start in our homes. And then when it does, it's going to explode here. And so here's this word. It says, the days of building empires is over. There is no more juice left in that wineskin. The grace period to keep prioritizing bricks and mortar over sons and daughters is over. The heart of God is brooding over family. And if you are looking for what God's pulse is on right now, that's it. Not fake family. Not plastic, not inauthentic, religious cliche family, but real family. We have been so good at building structures and administratively creating perfect organizations, systems, and people management, but we have lost the very heart of the Father. If you are wondering what to build, build family, repair family, champion the family, fight for family. That's what the enemy is warring so hard after, the family and the values of kingdom family. Because he sees what is in the future. He sees that this is the key that unlocks the harvest, an army of uncompromising, burning ones. The tide of culture is right now warring against the family, but we get to be the wave that pushes it back. The days of the enemy tearing down our homes is over. It's been an injustice and one that God is correcting. That's why religion can't be our idol and ministry our mistress. We have to protect the home. We can't be lovers of the boardroom more than the family room. We can't keep sacrificing our children on the altar of doing kingdom. We can't keep letting Disney raise our kids while we're off doing fire tunnels. We can't keep letting Netflix and computer games numb our kids to the reality of the spirit. We must build the altar in the home again. We have to lead our families into the presence of God and into real encounter. This is a change of gears season where God is anchoring us back to what really matters. That's why you have felt an internal shift of priorities and your appetite has changed. That's God showing you where he wants you to move. It's a season of stepping into a different flow, off the hamster wheel and into the slipstream of the Spirit. It's a season of less is more, and you will be so surprised by what God produces with your yes to the less. It's a season of taking back the family mountain for the kingdom and stripping false kings of their titles and evicting them from their thrones. It's a season of finally coming into a stability and an establishing for families who have been in the long hallway of transition for many years. He is planting you so that he can make you into a pillar and a shade and a refuge for many others. This is the birthing place of revival, and this is what the pioneering was all for. This is the season we are moving away from the manicured to the messy, the ducks in a row to the completely reliant on the Spirit. But the fruit will speak for itself. Empires have successfully created clones and obedient servants, but have failed to raise friends of God that know his voice. Family is restoring everything that religion has defiled. We are on a take-back mission, and the lost are coming home. The isolated and those camped out in the fringe, rejected and outcasted, and those who don't fit the criteria of the system, they are coming home. The table is being spread, and the prodigals are already beginning to run. And we have to be ready with a ring and a robe. It's that time. He is getting you ready. Right now, he is severing all unhealthy attachments and ties to you. He is setting the record straight over your home. The generational dysfunctions you grew up in are no longer yours to continue in. This is a season that God begins a new thing in your home. Kingdom legacy is beginning, and he has started a new bloodline that begins with you right now in this moment. I prophesy. Legacy begins here and now. This is where it changes. Our kids will not grow up tormented, demonized, gender confused, addicted, or unsure of who they are. They will be sons and daughters of God who know their identity and purpose, pursuers of God's heart, and restorers of those who are broken. Our marriages will not be attacked any longer, assassinated, broken down, and destroyed. Our marriages will be holy and set apart, not like the world's ways, but built upon the rock. In Jesus' name, Nate Johnson. So powerful. And so that's my heart. It's like he took the words out of my heart. And I just want this church to be known as lovers of Jesus and his presence. And as he is lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. And I want to just get back to simplicity, the prayer closet, Bible reading at home, bridal love and readiness, and again, family. And I just want my heart to always be aligned with the Father's heart for you for as long as he has me here with you.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. That's why we do this, so that you can hear the heart that God has given each of those that are being positioned to serve you. You can hear that heart and say, wow, that kind of resonates with me. And that can draw you towards that person and allow you to have greater fellowship with them. At this time, we'll call up Pat and Angie Dove. Can we give them a hand, please?
As Pastor said, we're Pat and Angie Dove. We have four children, three grandchildren. They all attend here. Been married for 26 years, going on 27 this year. We've both known the Lord since we were children. We've served in multiple ministries in the past, in different ministries. So God led us to new life through mutual contacts who attended here. We knew some people that had already attended here. And God just told us that this was our home. And we just stayed there. And God has given us both a heart for the body of Christ. Just not one part. I think if somebody walks through the door and they're hurting, or doesn't matter what kind of things are going through, I think he gives us a heart for that. So I got a scripture to share with you guys. I'm going to share the scripture before I actually tell you what I have on my heart. So it's Luke 10:19, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, "Now you understand that I've imparted to you my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will harm you as you walk in this authority." So that's my prayer for this church, is that we all can walk in that authority. I know I've had some big giants in my life that I had to actually speak to, and through the authority of Christ that he tore down these things. And I that's my prayer, is that everybody would be able to be an overcomer, that you could overcome anything that the devil throws at you. I mean, my life's been full of it, so I'm a testimony to that, that you have the authority through Christ to overcome.
So when I feel that my heart burns with compassion for what God put in my heart, I guess, I struggled with the wording of this, and I had to grapple with the Holy Spirit over the wording of it, because, you know, compassion is like, it's what I want for you. That's what it is. And so as I grapple with the Holy Spirit, I realize that what I want for the body of Christ is truth. And so John 8:32 says, "For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your lives." And I read that in the Passion Translation, and I'm going to read the footnote of that. It says, "The truth Jesus gives us releases us from the bondage of our past, the bondage of our sins, and the bondage of religion." Jesus was speaking these words to those who are not fully free from man's traditions. Truth must be embraced and worked out through the divine process of spiritual maturity. The Greek word for truth is reality. To embrace the reality of Christ brings more freedom into your life. And that's my heart's cry, is that as I teach my family to break free from the traditions of man and Western culture, that also we can show that to the body of Christ, that we are to be truly free. As Pastor said earlier, God has called us to live life full and abundant. You know, this morning in prayer, he talked about a cup being overflowed. And in my literal mind, I'm thinking of a cup. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "I'm not talking about a cup." It's almost like he was like, "Young one, listen here. I'm not talking about a cup. I'm talking about your life." And he's called us to live a life that's anointed and overflowing and full of life. But we cannot do that if we don't walk in truth and we don't embrace the entirety of his truth. I feel like so many years I've heard, you know, he said we've known the Lord since we were children. And so I've been around many generations of Christians, and I've heard portions and morsels of truth, but I just want more, you know, like we sang today, want more of you, God. I want to know the wholeness of him. I want to know the wholeness of his truth. And I want that for the body of Christ. It saddens me. It saddens us so greatly to look out at the body of Christ and not New Life, but the body as a whole, and see Christians so broken, so deceived, and so engrossed into man's traditions. We went to see the season 4 of The Chosen in the theaters, and I was taken back a moment. The Holy Spirit said, stop looking at the screen and look at my people. And I looked across the people and I was broken. Because these people who love Jesus enough to pay admission to come to see the chosen were also broken. It was like he gave me a glimpse into their souls. And I saw sadness and I saw depression and I saw hurt. And I'm like, God, they're here watching a movie about you. And they don't even realize the truth is that you did all that they're portraying in this movie so they could be free. If you go back from John 8:32 to John 8:31, it said, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, when you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers. And I was like, Lord, do I embrace all that you teach? You know, so many things in my life, God's saying, put it down. Put it down. And I've kicked against the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be honest a few times where I'm be like, God, but why? God told me to give up Facebook 3 years ago. And I got it back, and then I put it down, and I got it back, and I put it down. And I'm like, but they're on Facebook. I'm a teacher, and I teach fifth grade, so I hear kids say, but what about them? You didn't tell them to stop talking. And I did that with the Holy Spirit. I was like, but God, but you let them on Facebook. He's like, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. This is what you need. And back when he first convicted me of that, it was through a message that Melissa had shared. And Melissa was talking about salt. And she's like, God's convicting me of how much salt I consume. But just because he convicts me of how much salt I consume doesn't mean you have to stop eating salt. And so I come back to, am I embracing all that he's teaching me? There are things that each of us are called to put down, but we're all called to be separate from the world. We're all called to live a consecrated life, a life of sacrifice. He tells us that we are to die to him. We are to nail ourselves to the cross. In no means is that ever going to feel good. Nails in our hands and our feet, pierced in our side as he was. That's not going to feel good. He's calling us to a life of consecration. In order for us to walk in truth, in order for us to embrace all that he has, we got to die. We got to die. And that for me meant no Facebook. And then it meant no Instagram. And then it meant no social media. And then he's telling me to put down my phone. And then he's telling me to stop watching TV. And I'm like, what do I have left? And he's like, me. You got me left. I'm like, okay, here we go. Here we go. I was raised in the 80s. In front of a TV. And so I have to put down those old mindsets. I have to put down those old TV shows. I have to cancel that Netflix subscription. I'm not saying you, I said I, because of what he's calling me to. Because he's telling me, nail yourself to the cross. Until you die, I can't live through you. And I've called you to live a life full and to live it abundantly, but you cannot live abundantly if you don't die so that I can live through you. In John chapter 17, the whole chapter, it's funny how we can serve God our whole lives and we can read a chapter and we go, what? It says that in there? I'm sure I've read this. Surely I've read this at some point in my life, right? God, I mean, I've read John 17, right? God, please tell me I didn't go my whole life and not read John 17. I mean, I had that moment. But John 17, the whole chapter is where Jesus prayed right before Judas betrayed him. I had to take that in for a moment. He knew Judas was going to betray him. And he poured his whole heart out in John 17. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I encourage you to read it, because when you read John 17, you read the heart of Jesus Christ, our anointed one, Messiah. And it's just like, oh, his heart bled for me. Because it's not just talking about his current disciples at that time. It's talking about his future disciples. And he, 2,000 years ago, was praying for me. So in John 17, 17, it said, Jesus was saying this to the Father, your word is truth. So make them holy by the truth. So simple, right? Your word is truth. So make them holy by the truth. So my heart bleeds for the body of Christ to know the truth. And why does God make my heart bleed for the body of Christ to know the truth? So that they can be holy as he's holy. In verse 19, he said, and now I dedicate myself to them, us, as a holy sacrifice, so that they will live as fully dedicated to God. And again, he says, and be made holy by your truth. You know, when a teacher repeats themselves, you probably should listen. And Jesus is the teacher. They called him rabbi. He's repeating himself. So how must we be holy? And the only way we can be holy is through the Father's truth. And then in verse 21, he said, I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. So we all, the body of Christ, have to be one, as the Father and Jesus were one. And the world will not recognize the Father or Jesus until we do that. Yikes. So my heart says that the body of Christ needs to be one. So what do we have to do to be one? We all have to die together. One big grave in a tomb, and then the tomb gets rolled away, and we all come to life together. In John 14, 12, he says, for I tell you this timeless truth, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. That verse came alive to me about a year ago. He wants us to do greater things than he did. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He wants us to do greater things than him. How can we, as mere humans, do greater things than Jesus? Well, that's because his spirit lives in us. But in order to do greater things than he did, we have to live as he lived. And that's a life of sacrifice. He did not live according to man's traditions. He kicked them over. He threw the tables out. He destroyed the traditions. He broke the traditions. He loosed them from the traditions. There was a moment in Bible study this week where I was reading something that everybody was talking about. It was talking about the Sabbath. We were talking about the Sabbath. And in the translation, the Aramaic translation, it said, he came to loose them from the Sabbath because they were bound to it. They couldn't worship in spirit and truth, which is the last verse that I'm going to, is John 4:24. They couldn't worship in spirit and truth because they were bound to religion. So he came to loose them from the Sabbath. He came to loose them from their past. He came to loose them from their sins. He came to loose them from religion so that he could be fulfilled. It says in John 4:23-24, from now on, he's talking to the woman at the well, you know, the woman with five husbands. He's talking to her when he says this, and the very beginning of his ministry too. From now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place with the right heart, for God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth. And here we are, full circle, back to truth again. So my heart for the body of Christ, and that's you and all across, our heart for the body of Christ is that we walk in truth. We first have to perceive the truth. We have to know the truth. We have to allow the truth to set us free, because that's what the word says. Truth sets us free from bondage, sins, religion, all of those things, so that we can walk in the authority that Jesus walked in and even greater.
Angie, can you come stand on this step right here, please? One down. Pat, if you can stay up there. All right, I need to borrow you for a moment. So, as your pastor, let me show you a picture of what's happening here. I can only do so much, okay? But as we build the pathway to purpose here, and we empower the teachers and the pastors and the deacons and the elders, what I can do is take Lindsay as far as I can take her and pass her off to Angie. Angie, grab her by the hand and pull her up to the step that you're on. And then once she's there, right, then you can let go of her hand. Pat, grab her hand, pull her up. That's what it looks like until we get all the way to Christ, right? That we are each empowering each other, each serving each other, each doing a little bit, so that I take them as far as I can, and then they're passed up and passed up and passed up. And these are the ones, these are the youths, God who has anointed some of us to be the pastors and the teachers and the prophets, the evangelists, but we all play a part. Every single one of you play a part, and you've got to be willing to die to yourself, as she said. Like, you can tell that she's a teacher, because when a teacher is teaching you, you should be feeling some, ow, ooh, mmm. But at the end of it, if I embrace the truth in which she is speaking, then I can come up to her perspective and say, oh, thank you. You know what I mean? That hurt, what you said hurt, ouch, but I thank you for pulling me up and allowing the truth to have its way with me. And then after I learned that, I've got a brother that can help me. And then look, how'd you get up here? Right? And now she's here to play a part. She takes me by the hand, and whatever God has called her to do, I'm able to glean from her, and that's how we all, as the body of Christ, serve each other. Now, you guys can take your seats. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you. But what if it was just me? That's why God didn't make it that way, that one person does everything. We each have a part to play in the body of Christ. Amen? All right. Is Brother Steve here? There he is, Steve Carter, last but not least. Let's give Brother Steve a hand as he comes forward at this time. Appreciate you, brother.
Good morning, New Life. Good morning. Morning, New Life. I just want to thank God for being here. I thank God for all of you coming, and I want to thank God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day you have made. Thank you for being here. Lord, I love you, and I just want to thank you for the people who came. And I pray, God, that you continue to use me and put me where you want me to be, Lord. Lord, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for this new day. Thank you for allowing us to come into your house one more time. Lord, I just love you, and I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, those who don't know me, my name is Steve. I've been coming here since 2014. I moved out here from Arizona, and I found this church, and the reason why I'm still here is a lot of people who they show, and it makes me just want to come back. And it's not like the Holy Spirit being in this place. And I want to read a verse. Let's see. I'm going to go to John 1:1. And beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That just lets me know if, to be closer to God, you have to be in that Word. To grow, you have to be in the Word. And the Word keeps me strong. And there's nothing like the Word. To be closer to God, you have to be in that Word. And that's my goal, to get closer and closer to God. My job here, I'm a greeter. I also drive the van if it needed and pick up people. I just do things after church, whatever needs to be done. And I just thank God it gives me strength to do what I need to do. I just thank God. Other than that, I just want to thank you, and God bless you, and I love you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Thank you. Steve is an awesome man of God, going to be appointed to be a deacon. And he's been doing that the whole time he's here already. Steve is such a kind man, an awesome son to his mother, so honorable to her. And wherever you see her, you're going to see him just because that's the type of son he is. He's an awesome servant, just always willing to help people in anything that they need. When it came to our Compel ministry, when we were in the square, he'd come directly from work a lot of times and do some of the heavy lifting, never complains at all, just does whatever you need from him, and he's just a great addition to our deacon staff. Let's give Brother Steve another hand. Thank you so much, brother, for that. Awesome. I've just got a quick, I shouldn't say that, Lord, I repent. I don't know if it's going to be quick or not, but I've got something to say. We are so happy for all those that spoke today. Can we give them all a hand? Brooke, Pat, Angie, Steve. And they've been here the whole time. And here's the thing. It's going to be some of you, some other people's turn soon as well. Just be faithful. Show up. You know, we can't know what's in you unless we see you serve. So if you're saying, when's my turn, then we need to rub elbows together, because the Word of God says that you're supposed to know those that you labor with. So come work with us. If you can't come on a Wednesday, find out what else needs done. If you ever want to make your pastor faint, pastors, call us and say, hey, pastor, what needs done around the church? Not falling out in the spirit, just falling out, because that's something that we rarely hear. You need ownership in the church. I'm pretty sure we're going to roll out our partnership model. So we've never had membership. So you might say, hey, I'm a member of New Life Christian Ministries, but we've never had membership. But what we are about to have is partnership. Meaning that, hey, the Lord has called me to this church to partner here, and I've got a ministry that I want this church to help me develop. And that's why the name of the church is not New Life Christian Ministry, as in one, but ministries. And every single one of you has a ministry inside of you, and it's our job to kind of help develop it. So a servant that pleases God for such a time as this is where this fits. But the little quick message I have for you, Lord, forgive me if that's not true, is a servant that pleases God. So I got to be honest with you. I got to tell myself. And actually, I'm going to ask you this as well. How many of you sometimes feel stuck in your walk with God? Just by a show of hands, just feel stuck. Like, oh, like I don't feel like I'm advancing, or I've got certain issues, certain problems. I'm good over here, but when it comes to this, I kind of feel a little stuck sometime. Well, let me tell you this. Russia just had a terrorist attack a few days ago. I don't know if you saw that on the news. Over 100 people were killed at a concert, okay? But 2 weeks ago, the United States government received intelligence and they told Russia, actually, they did tell Russia, they said, hey, we're getting some information that there's going to be a terror attack at a large gathering. But Putin kind of shrugged it off and said, nope, that's just propaganda. I'm not buying it. But the U.S. embassy in Russia contacted United States citizens and said, listen, don't go to public gatherings 2 weeks ago. And then what happens just a few days ago? A terrorist attack happened at a public gathering and many lives were lost. They had the information, but they pushed it away. So, church, one of the reasons we get stuck sometimes is because we have the information, we have the revelation, we have the truth, as Angie talked about, but sometimes we just push it away. We don't really listen. We go about our own business, and that was me in several things. I'm supposed to be writing a book. I'm really slow about that. I'm supposed to start a business, started the business, but don't have one sale yet, haven't done anything with it, just kind of stuck. And God finally spoke to me and told me how to get unstuck. And he speaks to me in, what are those things called when you have a letter for each acronyms, right? So we got the acronym of life over there, love, identity, faith, eternal purpose. Acronym of rest, revelation, empowerment, strategy, triumph. And now he's giving me a new acronym called FAST, F-A-S-T. And here's what he said. If you want to move, if you want to get unstuck, you have to be fast. And the first letter in FAST is faith. Church, can you say faith? Without faith, listen up. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to move. Without faith, the mountain stands in front of you. Without faith, nothing changes. So that's why God is saying if you want to get unstuck, first you have to determine, are you in faith? Because without faith, nothing happens. Crying doesn't move God. Begging doesn't move God. Your trouble doesn't move God. Your circumstances don't move God. But faith, you get in faith, then it gets God's attention and things begin to move on your behalf because you please God when you're in faith. So I challenge you all to do what I did and look at your life, look at those places that you feel stuck in and ask yourself the question, am I in faith? Whatever it is, am I in faith? So the faith, the F stands for faith, the A stands for and, because we got to add something to our faith. I almost cut your microphone off, Angie, because you were preaching my mini sermon. The next part of FAST is spirit and truth. So picture a fast race car, okay? And we want to be that race car. We don't want to be stuck. We don't want to have four flats. We don't want to have an engineless vehicle. So in order for us to move along in our destiny, move along in the life that God has for us, the number one thing we have to have is faith. Church, can you say faith? Faith is the engine. Without faith, you go nowhere. Listen to me. Everything that you've ever obtained in your life from God is because you utilize your faith. If you got a car and you were believing God for the car, faith brought it to you. Come on. I got a car without faith one time off Craigslist. Cost $800. Drove the car for a while. One day I'm driving to school. What's that smell? Look behind me. Smoke's coming out of the back seat. I get out of the car. Within 3 minutes, the whole thing burned up. The whole car, $800. Why? Because I did not use faith. Listen to me, church. Learn something today. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Many of the times where we're worn out and we're tired and we're stuck is because we can't move under our own power. You've got to believe God for it. You've got to employ God and say, okay, God, I trust you. I'm going to use my faith. Church, can you say faith? Can you say it louder? Faith. So if we're going to move, if we're going to move fast, if we're going to get out of here, if we're going to please God, the first thing we need to determine is I am in faith. You got to get out of fear. You got to get out of your circumstances. You got to get out of planning and trying to do things yourself. That's what makes you stuck, because we are ignorant compared to God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the reason that we are stuck is because without faith, we can't please God. So we want to reach the miracle, but God is checking IDs at the door. And it's like, okay, you want to come through here? You want blessings on the other side of this door? Then show me your faith. And if we don't have faith, then we can't go to the next level. We can't go fast. So faith is the engine. So all of us, picture yourself as a race car for God. Faith is the engine. And now we have the and. Spirit and truth. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So listen, his spirit is the vehicle. You got to be in the spirit. Come on. We got to die to self, because God does not share his glory with flesh. So you got to be in faith, F, the A is for and the S is for spirit. Say this with me. God is a spirit. Man, that's what messes us up the majority of the time. We come to God in our humanity. We try to figure out things in our humanity, and nothing happens there. Why aren't things changing? Why aren't things moving? Because usually we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to move it along. And God says, first of all, you have to have faith. The next thing we have to use is the Spirit. The Bible says this: it is in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. Say this with me. God is a spirit. And his word says, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in what, Angie? Truth. So the last letter in fast is truth. So here we go. If we're going to move from here and get to where God has us, because listen, some of us are living below our means because he wants to give you life and life more abundantly. So if you can look around your life and say, you know what? I am frustrated by where I am. I am frustrated by this illness, this sickness, this problem. Then we've got to get in faith. That's our first step. First step is in faith. Faith sounds like this: God, I don't see it, but I believe you. I don't see it, but I trust you. I don't need to see it, God. I just need you to say it. Because the word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you get into the Bible and you see the Bible says that God is our Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider, then I don't need to see $2,000 in the bank, because I understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and he owns it all. So I don't have to have it in my pocket if it all belongs to God. The only thing that I need is faith, because faith connects me to everything that God has. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. When our children don't please us, they don't get the best from us. Now, we're not going to get children's service called on us. We're going to give them food and clothes and all that. But for the extra, well, you don't have to give your kids extra if they're not minding you. So God says this: I feed the birds and I give them homes. Like, I'll give you the basic stuff just because I'm your father. And you're not going to call CPS on God. He's always going to give us our basic needs. But some of us are tired of the basic. Can you just say, I'm tired of the basic? I know that you're the God of life and life more abundantly, right? Come on. So he's saying, if you get in faith, you'll please me. He told us the secret of pleasing him. My dad used to tell me too. My dad used to be the government and I was Russia, all right? He would give me information and I would just move it aside and he'd say things to me like this. Damien, if I didn't have to tell you to cut the grass, I wouldn't mind doing things for you. If I didn't have to tell you to wash the car, if I didn't have to tell you to do these things. See, my dad was telling me the key to favor with him, but I just didn't believe him. Like, nope, you're not going to work in me. Like, nope. God is trying to tell us, church, that the key to getting in favor with him is you have to get in faith. Get out of fear, get out of worry, and get in faith. And then the vehicle that we're going to get in, the car, the thing that's going to move us, right? The thing that's going to give us mobility is his spirit. So not this flesh. The flesh doesn't profit anything, right? But you have to get in the spirit. Well, how do I get in the spirit? By faith. By faith is how we get into the spirit. His Holy Spirit has been given to us and placed inside of us, and we move by the Spirit. How do you move by the Spirit? This is how you move by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, where do you desire that I go? Holy Spirit, what do you desire that I do? What are your plans? You got it. You're learning something now. Too many of us, we take our plans to God and say, God, can you do this for me? That's the wrong vehicle. The right vehicle is the Spirit. You get in faith and say, okay, God, I trust you and I believe you, but I'm not going to move on my own. I'm going to move by the Spirit. The Bible says, walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. So you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. So we must stay in tune with the Spirit. And then finally, faith is the engine, the Spirit is a vehicle, and now we need somewhere to go. We need a track. Where's the track go? And the T stands for truth. The Holy Spirit only goes to places that are true. So as you read your word, the word of God, and see what the truth is, the Holy Spirit will empower you to take you to those places of truth. For example, over 11 years ago, Kimberly, you're welcome to come up. Over 11 years ago, I'm in St. Rita's Hospital on 4K or 5K, and I am dying of kidney failure, and I couldn't help myself, right? And we need to come to the understanding, church, that we can't help ourselves. That's what God is for. God is our helper. And as I lay there dying, I prayed the whole night long for what I wanted. Listen. I prayed all night long for what I wanted. What I wanted is that when the doctors came into my hospital room the next morning, they would say, Mr. Tibbs, please don't sue us, but we've made a terrible mistake. We got your chart confused with somebody else. You're fine. Just get out of here. There's nothing wrong with you. That's what I wanted. Listen, church, listen. I prayed for what I wanted, and that's not how any of this works. Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but what? Let thine will be done. That's the kind of prayer the Lord loves to hear. When you get out of the way and say, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't answer me the way I want it to be answered. I die to myself, Lord, and I say, let your will be done. So my prayer wasn't answered the way that I wanted it to be answered. The doctor came into the room the next morning and said, Mr. Tibbs, without a transplant or dialysis, you're going to die. And man, that thing shook me up, because God has to sometimes get you to some places where you can't help yourself, and faith is the only way out, the only option. But what I want you to know before trouble even hits your life, that faith is already the only way out. Make faith the only way that you move, and you will see God show up in your life like you never have before. In some areas of your life, you've brought yourself to as far as you can go, as far as education can get you, as far as your finances can get you. You've done that all you can do. Praise God for that. But there's more. There is a bridge between where we are and where God desires that we be, and we can't cross it without faith. And the only way that we can get there is through the Spirit and by truth. So they take me up to dialysis. Brooke was pregnant with Drayden at the time, my first boy. I didn't know if I'd get to see him or not. And as I'm in dialysis for 4 hours, they're pumping all the blood out of my body because my kidneys don't work anymore. And I just begin to weep there in the hospital. Like, God, where are you? It just felt so real. Our pain can be so real. The things that we're going through can just be so real. We're like, God, where are you? I thought that you loved me. And in that moment, he spoke nothing. He just let me go through it. Sometimes, church, God will allow you to suffer and he'll be silent. And what he's waiting for is waiting for you to die. He's waiting for your will to be sucked all the way out of your life so that you can get to that point and say, God, okay, whatever you want to do, you can do it. I asked for my way and it didn't work, but God, I just surrender in this moment. So after having all the blood pumped out of your body and cleaned through a machine that can wear you out, they roll me back down to my hospital room, and there I sit all by myself in my hospital room after dialysis, not knowing if I'm going to survive or not. Having prayed my prayer the night before, I prayed all night long that God would do what I wanted him to do, and he had failed to do what I asked him to do. But now that I was empty, and now that I was dejected, and now that my will was out of the way, he finally spoke to me in my deepest and darkest and most lonely moment. He spoke to me. And he said this, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. If I had rejected that truth at that moment, I know I wouldn't be standing here right now. I know I would have died. But even in my weakest state, I still had faith and spirit. The Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment. Come on, the Holy Spirit's in us. As long as we have faith, we'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he will tell us the truth, and it will move us along. It will bring the miracle. It will bring the healing. It will bring the provision, whatever it is. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He spoke. His Spirit spoke. If we're going to go fast, if we're going to get unstuck, we've got to have faith and the Spirit. His Spirit spoke. His Spirit spoke what? The truth. F-A-S-T. Faith and Spirit and truth. His Spirit spoke, my grace is sufficient for you. How many believe in God in this place? Raise your hand all over the building. You believe in him. So he spoke to me just like he speaks to you. My grace is sufficient for you. And guess what? I chose to believe him. I chose to believe him that he was telling me the truth. And because I received the truth from his Spirit, here, 11 years later, I stand as the one that they said that would die and would not live. Here I stand. And here, listen. Not just me, though. Every single one of you has a miracle. God has done something for every single one of you. So why do we have short-term memory so much? Why does the new problem erase all the testimonies of the past some kind of way? We got to stop doing that. And we got to get on the fast track for God's glory to come to this earth. We've got to get in faith. And the thing about it, church, is that you've used your faith before and you've seen God do miracles. You've seen him do something for you. So everywhere in our lives that faith isn't plugged in, we got to start looking around and say, nope, my kids aren't saved yet. But I'm going to believe, I'm going to plug my faith back in and I'm going to declare that God is going to save my my kids because, Lord, you said that you would save my family. When you look at your bank account and you're barely paying your bills, you've got to get some truth going in your life. The Bible says that if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. Stop being so scared to give. That's why we're so broke sometimes, because we're so scared to give to God. We don't mind giving to Verizon and giving to Kewpie and giving to all these. We don't say, oh, but what are you going to do with my money? But what are you going to do with it when I give it to you? No, we just have to operate in faith and incorporate the Spirit. He's here with us. He's God's gift to us. And then the way the Spirit is going to take us, the track that he takes is truth. He doesn't get off the truth. The Holy Spirit will never lead you somewhere that is not true. So you'll never be able to say, okay, so I'm at Walmart grocery store and I'm in a need. And I see a woman and she drops $50 from her purse, but she didn't see it happen. I can't go pick up that $50 and say, oh, praise the Lord, he's blessed me. No, no, no. That's called stealing, right? That is not the, so you can't ever associate the Spirit of God with wrong and say that this is a blessing from God. That's just not how the Spirit works. If we're going to be on the fast track for miracles, the fast track for blessings, we've got to be in faith, using the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. We can't do any of this without faith. We can't do any of this without the Holy Spirit. And we can't do any of this without truth. That's the fast. That's how we get out of this problem fast. We get in faith. So that's my first prayer for the people, God, that we would not be a fearful people, but a faithful people, a faith-filled people. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Father, I pray now faith over these people. Come out of unbelief. Come out of fear. Come into faith, for the Bible says that God has given every one of us a measure of faith. Can you each thank God for the measure of faith? Just take a moment. Say, God, I thank you for the measure of faith. I thank you for the measure of faith. And guess what? It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to move a mountain. Just faith as big as a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. Just a little bit of faith can move a mountain. So why did Jesus then rebuke his disciples and say, oh, ye of little faith? I thought that's all we needed was a little faith. The reason he rebuked them for having a little faith was for having a little faith and not using it. You have to use the faith for the faith to be active. So, Father, I pray over these people now in the name of Jesus Christ that the measure of faith that you've given us, that we will begin to use it, that we will not allow trouble to push us into fear, but we would push back with our faith and just say, you know what? I'm going to stand here and I'm going to believe the word of God and I'm going to trust the power of the Holy Spirit and I'm going to see his truth come and be developed in my life. The measure of faith. Now listen, the Bible says that you have not because you ask not. So everybody gets the measure of faith, but there's something called the gift of faith. And the Bible says that we have not because we ask not. So if any of you today are dissatisfied with the measure of faith, how about we just ask God in prayer in this next moment to say, God, would you please give me the gift of faith? The gift of faith. Go ahead, pray. Ask God. Believe for it. He's your Father. He wants you to please him. So he'll give you something that will please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Ask God for the gift of faith. God, give us the gift of faith. Okay, now listen. All eyes open. Please listen. Listen, Faith must be tested. Remember that. We talked about the measure of faith. Now we talked about the gift of faith. But faith must be tested. So as we leave this building today, I'm not going to say this week, as we leave this building today, have an expectation that your faith will be tested. And don't cower in fear. Come on, allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of this moment and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to be afraid. This is the test that the Lord said that he was going to give me. All faith must be tested. So God, all right, I'm going to do this the fast way. I'm going to get in faith, and then I'm going to allow your Holy Spirit to be the vehicle. Okay, God, help me navigate through this problem. Help me navigate through this situation, and then ultimately lead me into truth. Because here's the problem with fear, church. Fear is a liar. The vast majority of the things you think about never happen. Those anxious things that you always are thinking about, they hardly ever happen. Fear is a liar. So allow the truth to minister to you this week. Put out your hands, cup them. So Father, we put up our hands to you in this moment. And we ask you to bless our faith. We thank you for a faith that stands the test of time. We thank you, God, that this week and this month and this year, that we're going to see some things with our eyes, God. And initially, maybe our fear will be stirred up and we'll get a little nervous, God. But we're not going to forget that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. And God, may that be an opportunity for the Spirit of God to rise up and say, do not fear. Be not afraid. Trust God. Believe him. God is the author and finisher of our what? Faith. Our faith must be tested to make sure that it's real. So listen, when the trouble comes, reach back for faith. When the encounter comes, we must use our faith. So, Father, we thank you for faith in spirit and truth. I pray your blessings over this congregation as we're about to dismiss at this time. I pray, God, that as we go back home and we look over our lives, that you will begin to highlight every area that doesn't please you. Angie was told to get rid of social media, God. What are you telling us to get rid of so that we can have more of you? TikTok can't save us. Instagram can't save us. We're looking to places for entertainment, and entertainment cannot save us. It is you alone, God, who can help us. You alone. So what must we sacrifice? What are you asking for this week, God? This holy week, what are you asking that we sacrifice? You want us more than anything. So this week, church, if you want your faith to grow, you've got to be in the Bible. You've got to be in the Word of God. That's where your faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing the Word. If you want to operate in the Spirit, you've got to crucify your flesh. You've got to say, it's not about what I want, God. It's about what you want. And when you say that, the Holy Spirit is activated to lead you and guide you. And finally, it's not about what you believe. It's about the truth. So everywhere where your beliefs don't line up with God's truth, you need to ask him, God, give me a new mindset. Give me a new wineskin. Help me to see things the way that you see them, Lord. Please forgive us of all of our sins and trespasses, God. Wash us and cleanse us with your blood. We're so thankful for what you did for us on Calvary, God. Thank you for saving your people. May we be a people that serve you and go and tell others the good news that Jesus Christ has come to this world to save, to seek and to save those who were lost. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we praise you. We thank you for faith that stands the test. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We're back here Wednesday night at 6:30, prayer at 5:30. Welcome.